Joanne was looking at a paper last night, and I don't know what it is, but I think some of us are familiar with it, or maybe we all are. But anyway, I'm not even sure what the implications were on the paper, but it said that in order to find it wasn't talking about the Bible, was it? It wasn't talking about that paper. In order to find truth, or to find the phony, what was it? What was it talking about?
Dollar bills.
Oh, dollar bills. Okay, that's what it was. In order to spot the phony dollar bills or whatever, the counterfeit, you don't study the counterfeit. You study the real thing. And I don't know if this was this talking about the Word of God as well. We didn't get to that. But it became real obvious to me.
Well, you don't study the phony dollar bill, you study the real
ones. You study the real ones. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. If you want to spot a false doctrine, you don't study the false doctrine. After a while, that's what you become. So you study the truth. Now, Jesus said, you're praying in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Well, you study the truth in order to spot the lies. And see, this is the thing that people don't understand. So what we do is you take in the Word of God. And we have been, as a body, basically my wife and I have been somewhere around 18 years. And as a result of it, a lot of things that we used to believe have become really obviously wrong. Because they didn't line up with the Scriptures. Well, you know, in the beginning of my relationship with the Word of God, we were in a denominational church, and the more we looked at the things that they believed in the church, the nuttier it got. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I made the discovery that they were just about as crazy to the pastor as they were to us. And he was a sweetheart. And anyway, and we asked him, we said, well, why do you... why do you do these things? You don't necessarily believe them. Why do you do them? He says, well, he belonged to an organization. Mm. So the organization was set up in a certain way and that he had to go by it. If he didn't go by it, he wasn't a pastor for God. He was a pastor from an organization. Do you follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when people go out and they go become missionaries and go to different places, they don't necessarily go out to represent God. They go out to represent the organization that they're part of. Well, anyway, but you don't recognize that. You don't realize it. Last night, Pablo and Candy saw. Oh yeah, getting back to Chuck. Pablo stopped over to see us and he called me on the phone. And I said, where are you at? He says, I'm outside. I can't get in. All the doors are locked. They weren't locked. Does that tell you anything?
Frozen, huh?
Huh?
They were frozen?
Uh-uh. The culprits, that's right ahead of you. When he decides to, he goes around and locks doors, closes windows, does all kinds of things. And here, he's locked Joanne out a couple of times when she was gone. And I caught it. And I said, I don't think she's the one you want to lock out, Chuck. Anyway, Pablo was over last night. He made a statement, and I thought, this won't really go over real in a lot of places. Probably, he was over in Chile, and he was talking to some of his friends. And he said, I don't have any man over me. And I thought, I bet you that goes over good, especially among the Catholics. But let me read you a scripture. Oops, I moved off of it. First Corinthians 11, verse 1. First Corinthians 11, verse 1. And you know what? I quoted these scriptures, but I never put them together. In verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I am of Christ." As I follow Christ, you follow me. And then, down in verse 3, he says, "I would have you know, Pablo, that Christ is ahead of every man." And when we have men over us, we're headed for problems. And then he says, "And the head of every of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God." Which does a number to the most of the Godhead theories right now, because we were just listening to the tape, and 1 John 5:7 came on this morning, and. Anyway, and that's one that I'm really familiar with, and it says that there are three that bear record in heaven. The only thing is, the King James is the only one that uses what we heard, and it's the Father and the Word and the Spirit, and it doesn't say that. And so what most translations, any other translation except the King James, you will find a combination of verse 6 and 8 to replace 7. They run them all together, and you end up with because it doesn't say that in the original. That appears to separate God from the Word, make Christ the Word. But what Christ was the expressed image of God. So he expressed God's Word. He says, "I only say what the Father tells me to say." God said back in Deuteronomy, "I will put my word in his mouth." And so, what makes it, you know, really makes a separation. So, we don't want to have men over us. And yet, remember when we were down to Promise Keepers? I think you were with me, weren't you? Way, way back when. And one of the things they said, every man needs another man over him. And I didn't think too much of it. And then afterwards, I thought, how reliable is that guy that's over me? That is not true. That's not scriptural. There are some things that say, submit to those that have the rule over you. Or in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, where it says that when Christ ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And he gave, you know, apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And it's like, and so almost every church has a fivefold ministry, they call it. The problem is, those ministries are dependent. If you got a ministry that all it does is preach the doctrines that church, the private interpretations of the church, that's, you got a problem. So what you, the only way that works is if each one of these are led by the Holy Spirit into truth. Otherwise, those ministries are ineffective. They don't accomplish what they're supposed to. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. And so we have, I mean, I've been a part of a number of churches that claim they had the fivefold ministry. But the fivefold ministry, what it did, it promoted the doctrines that church believed, or that pastor of that church believed. And that's not the fivefold ministry that Jesus set up in Ephesians 4, where we're supposed to speak the truth in love. You know what I mean? It's just not set up that way. But anyway, I'm going to shut down, because I got some real dandy things, but I'm not going to bring it yet. I'm going to wait till those that need it come. I'm teasing.
Keith was sharing, I was thinking, if you think you got it, you don't got it. There's an old lady that I go visit. She's kind of a shut-in, and she could use a little stimulus, you know, and she's pleasant. And so I spend an hour or two visiting with her. And she's spiritual after a fashion, you know. Actually, what she is just extremely optimistic, and it's kind of pleasant to be around her. But anyway, we were kind of talking about things of the Lord. And I don't know just how we got on it, but you know, the dream that Ken had involving walking on water had an impact on me. Somehow or other, it's been something I think about. You know? And it was probably foolish of me, but I told her about that dream. You know? I had a man in our church, you know, and it, you know, that's not something that happens. People don't walk on water. But, you know, dreamt he walked on water. The point I was making is that, hey, don't think in terms of possibility. You know, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. It's big enough so that, hey, you walk on water. Well, I probably should not have done that. You know, it really was water off a duck's back and moving on to another subject real quick, you know. And oh, what a pity. What a pity to be confined in such a way that you don't have an interest in the possibility of the impossibility, but the possibility of walking on water. You know, what a constraint to be limited in that way. Ah, boy, I want to look forward to walking on water. That's what I want to do, and I want that impossible thing to be possible. That's what I want. I want to live in that realm. But oh, there's something in the natural man that backs off of that. Oh, you do walk on water. Ooh, let's talk about something else. You know, sort of connected with that. When I first started coming to this church, there was a kind of a big deal that the difference between baptismo, and sprinkling, which I think was rontismo. You know, it was something that got referred to quite a bit. And my natural man reaction back at that time was to kind of roll my eyes, you know, more even sprinkling doesn't work stuff, huh? You know, okay, I got it now. I got sprinkling doesn't work. You got to be, you know. But I tell you, in thinking back on it, that was not a misplaced emphasis, you know? That kind of indicates what the standard church world wants is a little bit of water sprinkled on you, you know? That's what it doesn't mess up anything at all. But if you are baptized, whoa, you go in there, you come up all sopping wet, and you make a spectacle of yourself. You know, if you were to see someone on the street who had just been baptized, you'd say, whoa, what happened to you, you know? And that is what it ought to be. It ought to be that we are, what happened to you? Rather than just a few little spots of, you know, water on you, you know. That's what it, you know, that's what this way is. And if you say, no, just a little bit of water, that would be fine with me. I don't need to go all underwater or anything like that. Yeah, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. You need to get all sopping wet. All sopping wet. Mm-hmm.
I just have to make a comment along with what you're talking about. One of the things is that people don't understand what baptism is. And so by reading only what you want, you come up with these strange and goofy things. But baptism, actually, according to the book of Romans in the 6th chapter, we are baptized into the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we die to the old man, we bury that old man in that water, and when we come up out of the water, we are resurrected, supposedly, to a new life. So that's what baptism is not. You know, sprinkling is like it has, there's no application in the Bible anywhere. Anyway.
It's interesting. I saw this. I was going through some channels, and I on one of the off stations, kind of that's not the normal big networks. There was this title, and it was Touchdown in Israel. Gee, what's that? So I went to it. Well, what it was is it was a little bit of a it was filming a trip, and Kraft, who is the owner of the Patriots, he, and I think he's done this for years, I mean many years, but this one was, he took a whole group of Hall of Fame football players to Israel, to Jerusalem, and to see, well, but in that group was a lot of them, and some I was really surprised because I didn't realize it, were real devout Christians, and they were having a service in somewhere, and I don't know where it was, and they were singing, you know, Christian type songs, and at the end this one guy actually prophesied, and this other fellow who I just didn't realize he was just, was so affected. I mean, and when they got done, they had tears because they felt like the Spirit had really been there and moved and spoken. And then eventually they ended up at the Jordan, and a bunch of them were going to be baptized. And this Kraft, you know, he's with his entree. He goes all the places that everyone else went, you know. But when they went in the Jordan, and I was just thinking, and they baptized, and of course, and I thought, I couldn't tell the pastor, I think he was from Israel. And so I'm thinking he was a Jewish Christian pastor. Not sure, because he had an accent, but I don't know. But anyway, when they baptized, then it was in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And I thought, oh. But before I'd read, or seen that, and then before I read that article that you had, Keith, I had this thought, and I was really saddened. And I thought, what happened to the Jewish believers? We don't have any, I mean, yeah. You know, just stop and think about that. Those that were following Jesus, and we know that the Gentiles, you know, receiving the message at the same time, and we say that, yeah, within 300 years, there was all these doctrines that don't line up with what the Word of God was that was preached at the time. But I started thinking, but what happened to the Jewish believers? Where are they? From that, you know, what was there no lineage that went on in the Christianity side? And I don't have an answer or whatever, but it's just something that, and I was kind of saddened by it, you know, because it is sad if it just like died out. But I'm hoping is that the Lord will go, No. You see, I have this many, like he said to Elijah. I have 7,000 that still haven't bowed the knee to Baal, you know. And you know, then I said, then the other question I thought I had was, when Jesus went up and he took James and John and Peter with him, I think, wasn't it? And he was transfigured there for a month. And Moses and Elijah were there. And I thought, well, why was it those two guys? Mostly I thought, why Elijah? I could kind of understand Moses. Why wasn't it Moses and David or Moses and whoever, you know? And I have no answer. I read in Kings and stuff because I was trying to see the things that Elijah did. Well, then, you know, speaking about the reference that Charlie was making, and maybe I'll just go over that dream again that I had. I think it's the only dream I've ever had in that regard. But it was like I was over this real turbulent water, and the shore was way off, and it was like this thing just came and said, well, if you have faith, you can just walk to shore. And see, it wasn't that I'm not looking to walk on water. What I'm looking for in from that dream is the faith that came. Because when this, it just happened that there was just this faith. And it was like, okay. And I took off. And the minute I took off, it went like just quiet sea of glass kind of water. And then I mentioned that when I got to the shore, then all of a sudden I was going up. Like it was a huge, huge, huge cliff full of trees, you know, thick forest. And then it was like I was saying, hear the word of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord. And I never saw anybody or anything. And then that was the end of the dream. So so then I was thinking, like when Charlie said he shared it with that lady, you know, it's like, well, then don't share walk on water. Just do like Elisha did and part the river and walk across. You know, I was back reading about it. Elisha did all kinds of amazing miracles as a prophet, you know. And here we are with the dispensation of the Spirit given freely and all that. And it's like, but you know what? It's always in God's timing. And I was thinking about that article, and I maybe want to read it again, because there's that one section where the guy tries to show how it went from the time of Jesus to whenever, you know. Well, when I think there's records of historically when the Roman Church kind of took over, more or less. When what time that was, 300 or whatever years after, I don't know. But that's when all the deception started coming in and all the thinking of man's mind, you know, like, this is what we need. And then all of a sudden it justified going to wars and killing people in the name of Christianity and everything else. And some of that was somewhat to protect themselves also. But anyway, the point was, how do you just wipe away the Judaic side of who God is, when that's the foundation of everything? Because that, I mean, he had the Jews because he wanted to have a people that the rest of the world would see were his people, and that they were different, and they did things different because they were following a God that was the ultimate God, you know. So how do we just write that stuff off? You know, it's, I don't know. Now, of course, you know what? I was doing it. So the point is, the only way you see any of that, and supposedly that guy that's teaching in seminar and cemetery, or not cemetery, yes. What is it?
Seminary
school or whatever. You know what? All I can say is, you haven't been taught by the Holy Spirit. You have not heard truth. Because the only way you can hear truth is by the Holy Spirit, which this Word of God says, which we didn't see till God said He would show us. Why did He decide? Well, you know, part of the process was we got humbled. Now, we could have not gotten humbled and not even, none of this would mean anything. But for some reason, when we got humbled, we responded. And we said, you know, Lord, we admitted we were wrong. We did things wrong. And then we admitted that we, finally we come to the place that we said, and I know I didn't, I know the, all of you had to, that listened to the Word of God all the time, that you said, I don't know anything. I want to start over and have you, God, teach me. And that is a key. That's like, you know, when all you see all these shows with all the different stuff now, magic and everything, and there's always a key or a spear or something that's going to open up all truth and blah, 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 blah. That's the key. And it's the only one that's eternal. Is that you go before God and say, you teach me by the Holy Spirit. You show me truth. Because in here it says, that is the only thing that's eternal is truth. And if you have it, that's why you become eternal. You know? And it's, you know, So, it comes down to the fact that people have to admit that they don't have it right. That they're not righteous. We weren't righteous. But we're becoming more righteous now and have been for years because we're listening to what's right in this Word. You know, we're hearing what's right, not coming up with what we think is right. That's the other thing. And I'm always going to repeat this continually if I ever keep speaking, whatever. You are never going to get to heaven on intelligence. You know? There's no intellect involved in hearing the truth. Because if you're hearing it the way God says to hear it, which is by the Holy Spirit, which passes your natural mind and teaches your spiritual, then your intelligence has nothing to do with hearing truth. You know? And people will not and do not want to hear that. Especially leaders, you know? So anyway, I had one last thought there that I was going to stop with. But I think it got lost there in that last little whatever. I think I had a thought, and Pablo, you weren't here at the time, so. But you mentioned to Keith that he shared that, you know, you had mentioned as your, some of your friends in Chile that you have no man over you. And it says that Christ is over us. And then I had this, this is kind of on a light side, but, well, if he's humanity, he's a man over you. But that's the only one that has to be over you. Yes, that's always the exception. And I understood exactly what you mean because I feel the same way. I'm not going to be taught by a man. I mean, I'll listen to someone if I feel they've been listening to the Word of God and been hearing truth. And then when I hear it, I will see if it lines up from what I've been shown, which is only to my ability, of course. But you know what's happened? All of us have been bringing stuff and we've been lining it up. And we're finding out that a lot of what's being brought from different sides says the same. We're in agreement. And not because we think we have to be in this church. Not because we think we have to be because that's maybe what Keith thinks. Uh-uh. It's got to be you hearing the truth. And you know, I mentioned that I was listening to this one Christian musician, leader, worship leader, whatever. And I remember, and it sticks with me. And he said something like, well, we're supposed to all be hearing one, you know, unified is what it was, and all be of one. And he kind of chuckled and went, well, yeah, that's virtually impossible. Well, you know what? That's a lie. That's deception. With God, all things are possible, and His Word says that you should all be able to speak the same thing. So is that possible? Yes, because it's said by God in here. And see, right away, if you blow that off, well, you're never going to be a part of it. I'm believing that we're going to meet people from other parts of the world, whatever, that will speak the same thing that they've been hearing, the same as we've been hearing. Because that's what the Word of God says will happen. So I'm believing it's going to happen. And if He says to one of us, you know, I need you to go over here, and yeah, you don't have money for gas anymore, you're walking or you're riding a bike, you can't drive a car, and there's a river in front of you, if He wants you on the other side, He's going to give you the same mantle that Elisha had, and you're going to part the water, or you're going to walk across the water. If He has something that He wants done, you know, a work, whatever. So, you know, that's some of the things we can be actually looking for. See, I got a feeling I'm probably going to lose a lot in the future, coming days. You know? I mean, economics, whatever, could wipe me out right away. And then I'm going to start believing, well, if I don't have any money for food, God will provide. If I don't have to eat, fine, for 30 days, whatever. Or food will show up somehow, because He's done it in the past. And if you're one of His, He's going to take care of you. But you're going to have faith. Man, you're going to have faith. And so that's why I'm maybe that's why I got that vision and I felt the need to share it, is we want that faith. That just comes, and it was like, there was not, which is crazy, at that particular, there was not a single doubt that I wasn't going to walk. You know, it was just that. Just do it. Go. It's, you know, there was no hesitation at all. Now that faith I'm not living in today, but I want to be.
It's good to be back. You know, I love you guys. I miss you. So I'll give you, you know, just a quick summary of what I did. I'm not about what I ate or what I saw, but just, you know, the spiritual side of it. You know, before I left, I was under, you know, this feeling that I needed to, like, evangelize Chile. I didn't. But I was a witness, and I was not ashamed of the gospel. You know, Jesus, most of what is written in the four gospels is answers of questions that people gave Jesus. There's a, you know, Sermon of the Mount or whatever, but He just answered questions. You know what I mean? And I did that. And I did not bring the spiritual subject up at any time. Maybe a few times, you know, when necessary, when needed, when it fit. But not anything about Jesus, you know. And I had a lot of questions. And, you know, I told them at work, you know, I work, you know, 8 hours a day, and I listen in my headphones to the scriptures every day. All I listen. Oh, Pablo, what music do you listen to? What music do you listen to? Well, I just actually listen to this Bible. That's all I do. And I would have expected some funny looks, but I didn't get any funny looks at all. No laughs or, you know. And years ago, I probably would have not share that. I would have been, I don't know the word, embarrassed. I don't know. I wouldn't have. Because it sounds weird. You know what I mean? But, it's a bit weird. but it came out of my mouth like a greeting. you know, listen to the scriptures. And Pablo, you know, what religion are you? I said, I'm not a religious man. I said, I believe in the Bible, you know, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe everything. You know, they would ask me, you know, what do you think about this and that, you know, regarding different denominations or whatever. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I said, I cannot tell you what I think, because what I think, it means nothing. I can tell you what the Bible says about that. And that was well received every time, you know. And like I said, you know, I told them, that's what I said the most. You know, I don't have a leader over me. I don't have someone I listen to. You know, I don't have somebody I answer to. And because I told them, listen, all these denominations come out of the same Bible. But then you got a man with an idea, and then another man with an idea out of the Bible, and all these ideas, they don't agree with each other. So I said, that's why. I said, I don't want to, you know, I just want to know. I just take the word, and it's between God and I. And God will teach me. That's what I told everyone. And yeah, I mean, I don't know, answer to any man. I know, yeah, man, Jesus is a man, but he's an exception, obviously. He's the exceptional man. You know, let God be truth and every man a liar. Of course, Jesus is not a liar. He's, you know, he's always the exception. But you know, anyways, he was well received. I think I just planted seeds, you know, and you leave, and God waters and gives the increase and whatever, and narrow is the gate. So I don't expect 100% of the people to all of a sudden be converted, you know, because narrow is the gate, you know, and it's not my job, it's not my responsibility, it's not. You know, I just need to let my light shine, which I did. You know, I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I answered questions, and one of my friends, I remember talking to him when before I left Chile, you know, 20 years ago, and his mom is a Christian, and he was a Christian. Oh no, he wasn't a Christian, but he would at least believe in God, and there was a few scriptures that he always would quote. And then I saw him again. I thought, man, it would be really interesting to see him again and talk to him again. And he told me he doesn't believe in God anymore. Now he's an atheist. And I went. Anyways, one of the things he said, he's like, Pablo, he says, did you know that the smartest people in the world don't believe in God? I'm like, ugh. I said, man, all you want, you just want to be smart. You just want to be categorized with the smart people because you don't believe in God. It's not that you don't believe in God. It's that you just want to be called smart. You know what I mean? And he told me I told him about faith. I said, well, faith, you just have to believe. But, you know, I want to be a thinker. I'm a thinker. And all kinds of things like this. And I told him, do you know that everything that you've told me about why you don't believe in God and who you are and why you are is written in the Bible. The Bible speaks about people like you in several places, about people that have, you know, with big words and thinkers and wise and whatever. I told him, Fauci, you don't believe in God, but you are the proof that God exists because all the things that you are doing and saying. And but it was not a fight at any point. It was not a discussion. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't uncomfortable because I wasn't trying to make this guy think like me. I didn't, you know, we were just having a conversation and there was no hard feelings or less friendship, nothing like that, that you wouldn't expect sometimes, but, again, because it's not, I mean, not because I'm a Christian and I believe in God and I eat God's word every day. I don't expect everybody to do so or believe like me. In fact, the Bible says that not everybody will. So I don't have a problem. I'm not offended. I shouldn't say I don't care, but it's not something that it changes my life. If somebody doesn't agree with me or whatever. Anyways, we went to this church also, an apostolic church, and the beginning of the message, I was a little confused, but the last, you know, two thirds of it or so, the guy, he talked quite a bit about the word and how the word basically saves your souls, and he kind of like what we speak, and I was ready to tell him, you know, hey, let me tell you about God's word, but now these guys are speaking about God's word themselves, you know, how vital it is for your salvation. And that was a lot. However, I don't know, because some people say, hey, you need to, God's word will save your life, you need to eat God's word. But some people think that God's word is listening to a sermon. That's not the same God's word. The word of God that will save your life is the word of God that comes out of God's mouth. Now, a preacher, that is not God's word that will save your life. That is the word that will point you to the bread that you eat. So I don't know really. It never was clear to me. I sure hope that it was the God's word that comes out of God's mouth that he was speaking of. Because a lot of people encourage people to listen to sermons and listen to men and come to church. I don't know. But I did talk to a couple of guys about, you know, having a one-on-one relationship with God's word and stuff like that. And they do actually believe in deliverance. In fact, we were during the worship period at the beginning. This lady was going through a deliverance, not a huge manifestation, but it was a deliverance. And so I was looking, whatever. And so anyways, at the end of the service, this one guy says, hey, what happened to this lady? She says, she was going through a deliverance and trying to explain to me what a deliverance was. And in case I didn't know, I said, I know what this is. I've seen it. And, you know, so forth. And he said, well, you know, through the years, we used to have a lot of deliverances. Now, just lately, we just haven't. He said, but it used to be a huge part of our church. He says, we used to have huge deliverances through the years. I don't know. But now, for some reason, he explained that it was waning out or something. But anyways, it was good. I was expecting to do this huge thing, you know, talking to people, which I did. You know, I did talk to all my relatives, everyone that had questions, all my friends. So, it's not my job. You know, I mean, I do what God wants me to do, but it's not my responsibility. But I'm thankful that I'm happy that I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. That's a big thing. I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't embarrassed of what I am. And one of my friends told me the first day I got there. He says, I'm not going to go into detail at all, but he said Pablo, he said, me and my mom, he said, I agree that if you would have stayed in Chile any longer, he says, you would have been dead, he says. And I don't want to go into details, but he was right. Well, maybe not dead, I don't know. But then I told Candy what he said, and he's like, see, Pablo, he says, you know, God, he's always been with you. He took you out of where you were to save you, to keep you. There was a lot of things. I'm not gonna go. I don't think it's necessary. But anyways, he did take me, and I think I was my life. I don't know if it was in jeopardy in Chile, just the way I was doing things and living my life. So anyways, I'm thankful for everything. And anyways, good to see you guys. I love you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
that I'd be dead. I want to comment on what Pablo was bringing here. Over 50 years ago, I had a dream, and I've shared it lots of times. And in the dream, an angel, a big guy in white, appeared, and he said, "The Lord is coming." And I said, "Do we have time to tell our loved ones?" And he said, "You just have time." And that's 50 years ago. And so we came back, and we shared what we knew. Which wasn't much. And I'm thinking that we have a handle on what people need, and this is what we're going to share. You know what? We didn't even have what people needed. And so I have all these years now, we've been listening to the scriptures, and it's like I got, you know, a year ago or so, I got thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? I'm not sure anymore what to tell people. How to get saved. What do I tell them? And I'm starting to understand from the scriptures, if you want to go to church, go find one someplace and go. If you want to be happy in that church, do the best to be happy. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want eternal life, I'm starting to understand how to get it. You want it? Here's what you tell people. Hear the word of the Lord. Not my word, not his word, not her word. Hear the word of the Lord. Okay? But that's not the end of the picture. I'll tell you what the end of the picture is here. The Bible says that God's ways are past finding out. What does that tell you?
Not going to find them out.
It's impossible. You can't find God's ways out. Okay, now let me tell you something else about the great men, the great ones, great pastors, the Pope, or the Popes, you know what I mean, or whoever else. I don't want to belittle their positions or anything, but it says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, "For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him?" Your spirit is a tattletale. And if you're not honest and you stand before God someday, your spirit is going to tell him who you are. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure that I got that right, but I mean, that's my feelings on the subject. My spirit is a tattletale. And, but anyway, a lot of people don't even know they have one. But the Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. And, so anyway, now the next half of that verse. "Even so, the things of God knows no man," not even Don Burnett, not even the pastors all around us. The things of God knows no man. No man knows the things of God. Except the Spirit of God. So what is the answer? We need to be, if you want to go to heaven, we need to be hearing the Word of God and letting the Spirit explain it to us, and He will. But you know what that is? That's faith comes in. And that's why we come up with the same things, because we are letting the Spirit explain the things that we are reading. Let me quote a couple of scriptures. In the first Psalms, of strange as it is, it says that God blesses. I'm going to skip a couple of words or sentences, because it's just He blesses those people, but it says He blesses those whose delight, not one of their delights, whose delight is in the Word of God. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. and who meditates on that word day and night. How many want to do that? You're an exception. There was something in me over the years that said, I want to just read the Bible all the time. You know what I did? I'd go by the clock. Let's see, it's 11:45. I'm going to read the Bible for 10 minutes. You know what? That between 9 and 10 minutes, I would watch it every 10 seconds. You know what I mean? It's not that way anymore. Because God has done something. And I used to, when I prayed, the same thing. Well, I'm going to pray for an hour. Oh, I tell you what, I wore the clock out watching it. Mm-hmm. And if I would try somehow to make myself last an hour in prayer. It's not that way anymore. Now it's enjoyable because God's becoming a reality, because the Word of God is changing something in us. Mm-hmm. See, the things of God are only understood by the Spirit of God. And the only way you're going to understand the things that are in this Bible is by the Spirit. You're not going to understand it with your intellect. It don't work. I was taught for years that, you know, you understand by intellect. You understand by these wise and prudent scholars, you know. And they feed it to the rest of us peons and you know. And then we receive it from them. The Holy Spirit worker gives them, if that's the way it works. I didn't even know it was like that. You need to show yourself approved, which threw me off. Verses. Because there's a lot of other verses that tell us, you know, it's like this one I read to you where it says that, where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. What does that tell us? But Paul, you're the apostles of the Gentiles. Don't we follow you? Follow me as I follow Christ. What does that tell us? It says, follow or study what Christ did, and then you follow me if I'm following him. You know what I'm saying? People that are supposed to be spiritual people. You know what I'm saying? There comes a point in time when the relationship is not the same. They are no longer in the same kind of submission to the one. Did anybody follow what I'm saying? We grow, we mature, we change. So anyway, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So then what have I known over the years? Not much. And when it came to the things of God, not much. And a lot of the things that I have taught, that I have believed, I got it from somebody else's ideas. And somebody said that when I come up front, you know, that it's one somebody has an idea and another one has an idea. That's why we have the churches. You know, one of the things in the book of Jude, and Jude supposedly was one of Jesus' half-brothers. And anyway, in here he says, and these are those who are, they're divided, they're separated. What do we have? Look around us. The church world is hopelessly separated. And then it says, there's one word in that sentence in the middle of it. It's Jude verse 19. And it says, sensual. own ideas, their thoughts, their theories, or whatever else, their own senses. And then the last of the sentence says, and they have not the Spirit. So what we have, see, if the Holy Spirit would not, he don't speak with a forked tongue. He doesn't say something different to every church that he goes to. He would be saying the same thing wherever he is. So when we see people that are hopelessly divided, they got all these variety of things to believe, the Spirit's not involved. That's their own thinking. That makes sense?
Comment a little bit on what Pablo had to say. He was talking about the service that he went to down there. And they seem to be saying the right things regarding the word. And who knows? Maybe it was true, genuine, real thing. I do know that there is a lot of Christianity that it is checkbox Christianity. Mm-hmm. Yes, the word, we must, the word is the basis, it's the foundation. But you're checking the checkbox, you know? That's not your food, that's not the stuff that you are eating. And, you know, lest I sound above all that, hey, I'm kind of capable of that too. I can check the box, you know, on these things. It is a kind of an imitation of life as opposed to life. You know? Now, I don't want to be too down on myself. I'm moving on, I believe. But oh, it is so easy to fall into a checkbox mentality on these things. I don't want that to be. I want it to be food for me rather than checking a box.
I was sitting there thinking, you know, and the first time I come up with the Bible, and I never read anything out of it. And that always bothers me, because I don't like to just get up and share without Scripture, you know, in case I'm off a little. Let the Word speak. And I thought, well, we've been speaking in the Spirit a lot today. So I thought I'd just read a little section. In 1 Corinthians 2, well, let me start back in 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Now that kind of says anything, you know. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, and this is the key which was mentioned a lot. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that is like one of the great keys, scripture settings, that explains why you have to be taught by the Spirit. And I brought this scripture, I think, last week. Well, I'm going to add this one. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, so I think I had that scripture in mind when I was thinking about the, something about the article, because they wanted to make, they were making, you know, Jesus God because of things He did a lot. Or what is incarnation? You know? Well, I think if I have the Spirit, I must be incarnated. You know? And it says in verse 23 in that chapter, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That makes a separation. You are Christ, and Christ is God's. So, I think there was a... maybe missed it. There was one other reference to it. But you know, if you take that setting that I just read there about the Spirit, and then you go back to, you know, John and read from like 14 through 17, and it explains, you know, Jesus is explaining what you need to have. And that's what it is. The Spirit has to teach you. Only the Holy Spirit.
It is good what God is doing. And faith comes by hearing. But not just by hearing. It doesn't come by hearing false doctrine. Faith comes by hearing the truth. And Jesus said to sanctify them. Here's what he, in the prayer in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Is there other truth? Well, if Herod was king, see, he asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? And he said that because whoever was king decided that.
Pilate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if Pilate is over everybody, then if he, whatever he says is the truth. And, you know, whatever the king said, that's the truth. And so he said, well, what is truth? And so Jesus is saying, sanctify them through your truth, which is the truth, which is truth. And then he says, your word is truth. And this is something that is hard for people to understand. But what we want, what we got, we have to hear the word in truth to get the faith that comes by truth. And the title of my message that I'm going to bring tonight is the power of truth. See, we're looking for the power of the Spirit, and the power of God, and the power of faith. But actually, the key to the thing is it's the truth that brings us the power. Are you following me? It's the word in truth that brings us power. It's not the word. You remember what Peter said? We are being born again, not by corruptible seed. Is that meaning corruptible word? Is that what they're talking about? Because of the corruption that has taken place as people have their own private interpretations, I'd say that's what he's talking about. And so, but we are born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And I'm saying the incorruptible seed, when you hear it, will cause faith. The corruptible seed will not hear it, will not cause it. Do you follow me? So you can be hearing the Scriptures with a wrong interpretation of it. It's still not going to build faith. But it's still the Word of God. Remember what Jesus told the Jews? He said, by your traditions. Didn't they have the Word of God? They were so convinced that they were God's elite. So convinced of it that they were offended. Jesus did not elevate them and make them something. If he would have elevated them and, you know, gave them honor, he'd have been fine. So, but instead, he did the unthinkable. He said, you are guys are of your father the devil. Go find any pastor and tell him that. See the response you get. These guys were, you know, top of the line Pharisees, whatever else. Any other comments?